Well, welcome, welcome, welcome once again to our Tuesday afternoons. And that's much better. Thank you, Truman, changing my headset. And welcome to every Tuesday at 1:30 is Adventures in Recovery here at the Voice of Vashon. I really enjoy being with you folks every week as we talk about recovery. I'm your host every Tuesday for a half hour, and I look forward to spending these 30 minutes with you. And we explore the many ways we can recover and move toward a happier, more fulfilled life. And, you know, the way we define recovery here is simply recovery being a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness and live a self-directed life and strive to reach their full potential. And we always bring in very interesting guests to the show every week to interview and see what's going on the island. And towards the end of the show today, I'll be announcing some other things that are happening around the island. But today, I am really pleased to have three guests with me, all affiliated with Vashon Youth and Family Services. Well, actually, four of us are involved with Vashon Youth and Family Services. We have Jenny Johnson, the Executive Director of Vashon Youth and Family Services. We have Emmy Bell, our grant writer and fundraiser. And we also have Tiffany Shira, fundraising and communications manager. And the reason we have all three of these wonderful individuals with us today is because they're going to be talking about a 7-series program that actually begins tonight, or I should say this afternoon at 4:30. And they're going to tell you all about that. It's about, well, it's about our beloved community. In fact, that's what it's called, is Beloved Community. And first, I'd like, for those of you that don't know Jenny, she's our executive director, my boss, and she's going to actually share with you a little bit about herself and maybe how she became affiliated with Vashon Youth and Family Services.
Who are struggling or may know somebody who is struggling with addiction. So thank you for the introduction. I'm Jenny Johnson, and I've been with Vashon Youth and Family Services for a little over 4 years now. I started at the top of the pandemic, and I've been in nonprofit leadership in different roles for going on 30 years now. And I've had it's been a long. In some ways, it feels like it's just been a couple years at BYFS, and in some ways, it feels like it's been a lot longer. But it's an incredible team with a lot of really dedicated staff and strong programs. But today, I think my part here today is to just give a little bit of background on the Beloved Community series. 2 years ago, we applied for some funding and ARPA funding, so American Rescue Plan Act funding distributed through King County called a convener grant. And the idea of the convener grant was to support social service organizations in communities in collaborating together more and in aligning services and developing relationships with one another. The whole idea, especially coming out of COVID, is that when social service organizations are aligned and collaborating and getting out of our silos and working closely together, we're much more efficient with resources. We're much faster at service delivery. We're more efficient. We're more effective, less likely to duplicate services, better empowered to identify unmet needs. So we threw our hat in the ring for this funding, and we received dollars to support our convener grant here on Vashon. The two main pieces for the grant that we wanted to support were a Vashon resource app, which folks can now download on Android and iPhone. And I think there's a web version too as well. It's fully up and running, but we are consistently updating it. So if folks out there want to download that app, take a look at it and have feedback for us, absolutely. It takes a community. Give us that feedback. And then the other main piece for the convener grant for us was to bring in some professional development, some training and skill building opportunities for our social service network. So many folks out there might know that We have a really active Vashon Social Service network here on the island. 9 social service providers, including VYFS. I'm going to say them all here, folks.
Good.
And I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget anybody. So VYFS, Interfaith Council to Prevent Homelessness, Vashon Food Bank, Vashon Care Network, Dove Project, Vashon, did I already say Vashon Care Network? Yes, I did. VARSA, Vashon Senior Center, Vashon Household, and St. Vincent de Paul. So we meet monthly and quarterly to make sure that we are building out collaborative programming. And a conversation that's come up again and again, or came up before we got this funding, was the need for better shared language. We all specialize in our own fields, whether it's mental health or domestic violence prevention or housing. But we often have our own sort of, expert language, and it can be rich. That can be very rich for conversation and problem solving. But sometimes we found ourselves wanting kind of more of a shared language. So the idea behind these trainings, for the social service network and the community, was to build out our shared language. So we worked with the different providers in the social service network. And then we also, collectively identified sort of the communities, the populations in our small community that face some of the greatest barriers. And that was how we went about selecting the particular trainings, training topics, and facilitators that we wanted to be part of the beloved community. It was probably more than you needed to know.
No, that was awesome.
The long-winded background.
We've got to, I got to send out kudos to all of our listeners too, because with the strong team that we have as far as social services on the island here, there are so many generous people. I mean, Vashon, first time I came to Vashon, I really got a vibe that this had a very strong healing vortex to it, being the island. And anytime there's been a fundraiser for people to have an opportunity to give to a nonprofit organization, I mean, look at the example from just last week from Vashon Household.
Mm-hmm.
$75,000 were raised at one event, and you're going to hear about some of the opportunities that we have to offer coming up this fall as our fall fundraiser coming up too. And Emmy and Tiffany are both going to tell you a little bit more about that. But in getting into our program that kicks off today, it's got some pretty deep roots in it, because it was originally headed up by names that you would probably recognize, like Thich Nhat Hanh, Martin Luther King, and, Tiffany, do you want to kind of fill in the blanks?
Sure, you bet. So it started in 1913 with Harvard professor Josiah Royce. He said that life means nothing without community. And he thought of community as an all-embracing radical idea of unity for the whole human race.
Oh, so beautiful.
And then it kind of just built from there. So from early 1900s, then Martin Luther King came along, the late 50s, and added his understanding that love can transform opposers into friends, which is very relevant now in these times of upheaval. And he said this kind of understanding can transform gloom into gladness. Mm. I love that.
Nice.
Like you said, Thich Nhat Hanh, however you say it.
I have a debate going on here.
Yeah.
Maybe a listener can help us out.
He was friends with Martin Luther King, and he expanded on the concept to include all forms of life. Mm. So that's how it started. And then our outreach team of one, our coworker, Belinda Jovanovich Olvera, got all these professionals together that have a deep background in the idea of beloved community and all the concepts that it entails. And so she set this up to share with our community.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And once again, for those of you that want to partake in this, it's very simple. Just sign on to Vashon Youth and Family Services website, which is vyfs.org. Not only will you get more information, but there will also be a QR code for you to just click on that simply, and you'll get an email response showing you what time, it's going to be 4:30 is what time it begins this evening or this afternoon, and it'll send you right to the Zoom site for you to partake in this.
Yeah, Do you want to hear the different, the seven different workshops that we have planned and the dates? And we, I mean, there will be more posts about exactly, I guess that's when we pass it over to you, Emmy, for your, yeah.
Well, tonight, for instance, we have Science of Hope. And we're excited to welcome Linda Seeger, I think it's Seeger, and Jeff Allen as part of our Vashon Beloved Community virtual workshop series. Both facilitators are Hope ambassadors with years of experience. They're defining and working under the definition of hope as the belief that the future will be better and you have the power to make it so. Hope is based on three main ideas: the ability to set desirable goals, the ability to identify viable pathways to these goals, and the capacity to dedicate mental energy or willpower to pursue these goals. So they're going to dive into this tonight from 4:30 to 6:30. There's going to be breakout rooms so you can work with, meet some new people and work through this concept of hope. That's going on tonight. And then in September, we have the Introduction to Community Accountability for Gender-Based Violence. And we can go into more detail as that date gets closer. There's also more of a description on our website if you want to read a little bit more about them. And let's see, October 11th, we have Providing Culturally Competent and Humble Care. This is one that I'm excited about as a caregiver also. And this is based on some traditional indigenous healing techniques. Her commitment to creating an environment, I'm sorry, I should introduce her name. It's Grace Alvarez-Sesma. And her commitment to creating an environment of mutual respect and collaboration among these diverse groups is a testament to her leadership. Let's see what else. We've got the protective factors and risk factors, expanding perspectives, also in October. And the five protective factors, just as a reminder, folks in social services are well aware of creating this, strengthening these five protective factors, such as knowledge of parenting and child development, social connection, parent resiliency, and concrete support in times of need, and social and emotional competence for children.
And if I could just interrupt you for a second, Emmy, and those protective factors are a big part of the work that our Family Place organization does, working with families with children six and under.
Those factors...
I know, go, pivot, go ahead. That face a lot of adversity, individuals and communities, you will tend to see folks who are able to kind of develop more resilience when those factors are in place. So if you've encountered, for example, a lot of adverse childhood experiences, if you have those five protective factors in place, it is more likely that you're going to be able to, I don't necessarily, the word overcome is a little problematic, but you'll have more resilient factors in place to kind of help you not end up facing a lot of the negative consequences that can come about or be associated with.
Well, and not only that, Jenny, I'm thinking that for people that have experienced adverse childhood trauma or adverse childhood experiences, sometimes it helps to understand that might be the reason for certain behaviors that people are becoming willing to take a look at now. And it takes the aloneness away from that particular concept a person's dealing with.
I would love to see people, I mean, attend all of these workshops, but this October 16th protective factors, I think it would be, the more people in our community who understand how we collectively can build out for one another, not just ourselves, but build out those protective factors. I mean, it's a long-term project, right?
Oh, of course.
But yeah, the more understanding we have, and the we can kind of get ahead of it. We can get upstream. We can prevent some of the negative outcomes.
Well, it's all another form of recovery.
Yeah.
And when we can
wrap
our head around why, we can start working on the solution instead of living in the problem anymore.
Yeah.
Now, there's so many different, we haven't even covered the titles of all of these series, but for instance, as we mentioned, the first one's at 4:30 today, 4:30 to 6:30, they're all 2 hours. But if that's not a good time for you, these different workshops are offered at different times. The next one, September, is from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Then we have the one on October 11th from 10 a.m. to noon, and the rest of them are at different times as well. So the whole schedule is at vyfs.org. So I'll be, I mean, feel free to check it out, and you can take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We we talked about not sharing this, but we will be recording these. Yeah. So yeah. We will be able to share them with folks who absolutely can't make it. Of course, we'd love to have folks be there in live and in real time.
And excellent. There'll be interactive opportunities,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, to ask questions.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. So is it okay if I just keep going? There's just three more.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Please do. Yeah.
Also in October, mandatory reporting is not neutral. And this is kind of geared towards, school officials and anybody who's a mandatory reporter, including caregivers. So this is taught by Shannon Perez Darby and Dion Alcantara.
So, Amy, just to educate some people that might not understand what mandatory reporting is, can you go into just a little bit about what that means and what a person would have to witness to feel that something needs to be reported, and who these incidences would be reported to?
Well, as a mandatory reporter, I'm not exactly prepared to talk about it at length. But if you see abuse, you're supposed to report it, and that means something that might be going on within the institution that you're working. In the household that you're working, if you're a domestic worker, such as a caregiver, or in a school environment that you suspect something at home is going on, that you are required to report it. Abuse, you can't ignore it. You are designated responsible for that person, child or adult.
And that would be reported to whom? Would Dove be an appropriate agency?
You could start with them, but ideally it would be Child Protective Services or Adult Protective Services.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it gets complex. I think those of us who go into these caregiving fields and social service, we have a kind of a built-in protector instinct, and sometimes there can be cultural bias. And sometimes what you see might be interpreted through a different lens depending on your background. So this is something that is part of what's going to be addressed in this training. It's something we all need to be aware of, and we just need to know ourselves, and we need to do that deep dive and that investigation and self-reflection.
And cultural competency.
That defeats the purpose.
Perfect. And let's see, Emmy, you've got a couple more on there?
Yes, I do. This is one that I care deeply about on the island and worldwide, is The Balance of Poverty by Drayton Jackson. Mm-hmm. And this is November 13th from 10 to 12. He is an amazing man. You'll hear about the impacts of poverty on families and learn firsthand experience from Drayton. His mission is to change the narrative about homelessness and poverty across the country. Jackson eventually freed himself from the grips of homelessness, and he's using his experience to help others. He is also he's a member of Governor Jay Inslee's Poverty Reduction Work Group, and he's founder and executive director for the Foundation for Homeless and Poverty Management. So I am really excited about him with this webinar.
We've been having a lot of conversations, the three of us, about advocacy, about the reality of poverty here.
And myths of poverty.
On Vashon. Yeah. And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
We've got, on the island, there's 10% of our population lives in poverty or below poverty, and that's an annual income of $18,500.
Wow.
That's it on Vashon in the Pacific Northwest. The myths of poverty are that you're giving someone money, they're just going to need more, they're not going to become self-sufficient, they're not interested in changing their life. And that's just not true. The average amount of time that someone is on food stamps, for instance, is 9 months. Hmm. It's a stabilizing mechanism that it's necessary. You cannot thrive in your life if you're constantly trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So that's what we hope to do, is to lift people up, to give them opportunities to get their head above water and to plan goals and reach those goals and thrive and keep going.
Stabilized. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a perception here that Vashon Youth and Family Services and all the whole Vashon Social Service Network, that we're constantly kind of battling, which is the idea that Vashon is this very wealthy, privileged community, mm-hmm. and that poverty doesn't exist here, and it's absolutely not the case. Yeah. And it becomes kind of a double whammy for people who are experiencing poverty here on the island. Not only, you know, are they experiencing poverty in the first place, but then they, and not only are we a rural community, a rural unincorporated community, but we're often, you know, kind of at a disadvantage when applying for competitive resources for our community, because we sometimes can't compete.
Those numbers
and don't have the numbers.
We don't have the numbers, or there's that perception issue. And you just met somebody the other day who was like, Vashon is a poverty. What? And we see that all the time. And so
people don't realize that we have an actual significant homeless population here as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and in addition to being a remote rural location, keep in mind, this is still King County.
Right.
But on top of that, being an island brings the prices of gas, food, groceries,
everything.
Just about anything. Yeah. You know, add 25% to regular prices that you'd see over, how do you refer to that? Overland or over off island? What do you say?
Over town.
Off island. Over town. Thank you, Jenny.
Pond.
Over town. I've never heard that expression before. Since I do live in Tacoma, I just get to take a cruise every time I come to Vashon. It's a beautiful way to commute to and from work when they're running. But anyway, it's a beautiful way to begin and end my day. And how about the mental resilience? The November class.
I just want to say one more thing about the balance of poverty.
Oh, absolutely.
We get worked up about this. Poverty.
Poverty sucks.
It sucks. Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks. As a single mom who came out of it herself, and I came to Vashon Youth and Family Services back in 2016 with my son because we were pushed out from the gentrification going on in West Seattle, and they offered me my first last deposit to move in to a place here. Which I would not have been able to afford because I had to come up with that huge lump sum a year ago.
Yeah.
So a year from that. So
that poverty tax can make it almost impossible to actually get out of the of the cycle.
You're not even aware that that it's happening. You're just constantly trying to stay above water.
Survival mode.
Yeah. You can't plan. Yeah. Long term.
And then with that little boost,
that traction. Yeah. You get your traction.
You were able to.
I was able
school.
To get my BA at Seattle University, and I started working as a caregiver out here under Bridget Webb and wonderful Chris Jovanovich, who's passed away. And they took me under their wings and taught me how to take care of folks out here and myself. And I've just been
on fire.
And I found these guys because I was taking a grants class, and I said, "Hey, I need a nonprofit. You know, can I?" Write a grant for you guys.
We were like, "Can we hire you?"
You're hired.
Oh my God, yes. But payback.
That's funny because that story really leads into the final class, which is mental resilience.
Yep.
So you gained resiliency because you got the boost that you needed.
Yep.
And
no, I'm paying it forward. Hopefully.
Yeah. So let's hear about mental resilience.
So the last one, mental resilience finds stability. Let's see. So building mental resilience and handling stress effectively is the topic. And this is November 19th from 4 to 5:30 with Jennifer Sack. She's a meditation and mindset mentor with over a decade supporting others in the wellness industry. And her mission is to empower others to build confidence and self-trust while decreasing stress and mental mayhem by capitalizing on their own ability to self-source insights, creative energetic quadrilles, and alter their mindset using guided immersive meditation. So she's got a lot of techniques she lists there, and that sounds pretty cool too. So yeah, that's coming. That's one of our last ones. We also might add, we've had two CPR certification programs. I think we're going to do another one in November. If there's more of a demand, we'll try and do December as well.
And those are open to the public.
Yes, and those are free. You get certified for free. You don't have to go off island. They're 2.5 hours. Kevin from Kitsap Fire and Rescue is hilarious and has taught me more about first responding in the new age with, you know, folks that are dealing with drug addiction in public, and how can you be supportive of them if they need assistance and keep yourself safe. So that's one of the topics he covers.
So we will be broadcasting the dates for those coming up as soon as those are established, because I'll tell you what, you never know when you're going to run across somebody that is going to be needing first aid, or CPR. And just to also add that lately with the fentanyl problem, it goes without saying. I mean, people on the island probably know other islanders here that we don't have around anymore because of fentanyl being laced in cocaine. And it's tragic, but I wanted to put out there that there is one way to save a life, and that is by having a Narcan kit available to you. And I would also suggest keep one in your car. Those are readily available through our front desk at Vashon Youth and Family Services. There's no charge for these, and you just might be able to save someone's life. And also, if you're afraid to approach somebody that might be going through a seizure, the appropriate thing to do is apply the Narcan. The directions are right in the box. Then have somebody else call 911 immediately, if not sooner. So keep the kit in your car, because you're probably not going to run across a situation to use it while it's on your desk in your office or somewhere like that.
And maybe read up on how to use it before you're in the situation.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. And by the way, the Good Samaritan law does come into effect too. So you're not going to put yourself at risk. Just read the directions and take the opportunity to save somebody's life. And Emmy, I just wanted to add, I'm so glad you shared your story because, I mean, you've got your own adventure in recovery.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Thanks to the resources on this island, mm-hmm. you're here today in the position that you're in.
That's right. And not just grant writer, but grant manager now.
Uh-huh. And she's moving on up, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about the CPR first aid class coming. And once again, I mentioned that we will be announcing those on future episodes of Adventures in Recovery. And once again, every Tuesday at 1:30. And in fact, I'm going to be approaching the gentleman that teaches those classes to see if he would not mind being a guest on the show in one of the up-and-coming weeks.
I have a question, Tom, and maybe you know about this. And we can ask Kevin when he's here, too. In the class, he said that you need to have at least 2 cans of Narcan, because you're going to give them one, administer one, call 911, and then administer another one before they get there. And then they're going to give them possibly 2 more, that it takes 4.
It could. Yeah. It could take 4. First thing
can
we
you
do
overdo it, it? Can you overdo it?
You cannot overdo
okay.
it.
Okay.
You cannot overdo it. What it does is it intercepts the synapse of the highness. It snaps them out of the high. It takes the buzz away. So don't be surprised if the person that you're applying the Narcan to gets upset.
I've heard
and
that.
Gets angry.
Yeah, that's what Kevin said.
Because you're wrecking their buzz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're also saving their life to where their heart's going to keep pumping.
Right.
I think probably most of the listeners out there know at least one person we've lost through some form of substance abuse, whether mm-hmm. it be alcohol. And just a footnote, and that is that alcohol, it's not considered a mind-altering substance by some, but alcohol alone kills more people than all the other drugs combined. So just a FYI on that. And if anybody thinks they might have an issue with alcohol or a loved one might have an issue with alcohol, feel free to give me a call at Vashon Youth and Family Services, and I'll be happy to talk to you about coming in maybe for a drug and alcohol assessment.
What's your number?
The number at Vashon Youth and Family Services is 206-463-5511. And if I'm by chance I'm not in, our receptionist will be happy to give you my work cell phone number. You can reach me pretty much anytime. And there was something else I was going to mention about that, too, and that is the fact that there's such a stigma around getting into recovery. And I'm proud to announce the fact that, for full disclosure, I am a person in long-term recovery myself. So I know what it's like. I've been there, but I'm also reaping the benefits of recovery every day. And being able to sit here at a table with 3 incredibly talented women. We've got our executive director at Vashon Youth and Family Services, Jenny Johnson, who we're so pleased to have such a passionate leader running the helm of the ship over at Vashon Youth and Family Services. Those of you that may not have been to our offices, it's right basically in the parking lot of Vashon High School. You can't miss us over there. And also, we've got Tiffany Shira, who's been with us, our fundraising and communications manager. Right?
That's right.
And Emmy Bell, the grant writer and fundraiser. It took a team of these three and Belinda to put Belinda. This whole series together.
Thank you, Belinda.
I'm so impressed with the way Vashon Youth and Family Services works. It's like a well-oiled machine. Everybody works together so well, and they're so passionate about what they do. So a couple of real quick things. We're going to wrap it up here, folks. But if somebody wants to take advantage of the services at Vashon Youth and Family Services that we offer, keep in mind we are a Medicare agency, a Medicaid agency. And if you don't have insurance through the state, just show up at the library up here in Vashon on September 1st. Or excuse me, not September 1st. That is our bake sale coming up on September 1st. Wednesday. We're going to get to that in a minute, but Wednesday, September 18th from 2:30 or from 12:30 until 3 p.m., Miguel will be here at the King County Public Library in Vashon to help get you signed up, whether it be with the food services, some used to call them food stamps, or if it's just getting on Apple or healthcare and insurance, he'll be happy to guide you through that. And the bake sale. So that's going to be at Thriftway from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on September 1st. All right? So mark those items on your calendar. And if you want something, some family fun, coming up on September 15th, it's going to be Recovery Day at T-Mobile Park for Recovery Day with the Mariners. Tickets are only $25. You get a Mariners Collector's Recovery Day t-shirt. Like I said, it's only $25. And you just go on the Mariners or T-Mobile website, and you'll get more information on that. You should order your tickets because they do sell out, but usually you end up with about from 5,000 to 7,000 people in recovery, all sitting together for a beautiful Sunday afternoon baseball game. It's a great event. I was at the first one, and it's something you really never forget. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for being with us today, and I look forward to being with you every Tuesday, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, for Adventures in Recovery here on The Voice of Vashon.